going to read from Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 29. Yirmiyahu HaNavi, Jeremiah the prophet. I'm going to be reading from verse 10 through 14. Jeremiah 10 and Jeremiah 29, 10 to 14. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I've driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. The first verse kind of stuck out to me there. After 70 years be accomplished. And if you read in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel discovered from reading the book of Jeremiah that the 70 years were up and it was nearing the time for God to fulfill his promise. And then I thought over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Apostle Paul, there in prison, wanted his books and his parchments, our English Bible said. He wanted to keep studying. I remember Brother Harold mentioning this, that just think of this. Here's the Apostle Paul. He knows he's about to die, but yet he wants to keep studying. Well, our Sunday school lesson this morning was about watch and prayer. You know, if Paul facing death was willing to study, what about you? What about me? Shouldn't I be willing to study, not knowing what tomorrow brings? I should still be diligent in studying the Word of God. That's how Daniel knew what was going to happen. That's the only way we're going to know, is we see the signs around us. I heard recently someone, popular news broadcaster, say the thing that amazes him, the only people that don't seem to be really frightened by all that's going on are Christians. Well, there's a reason for that, isn't it? Let's come before the Lord in prayer.
Really thank Brother George for his prayer and you as well for praying for the speaker this morning. Certainly desire that, and we need it. And our desire is to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Just by quick just a quick update here. We certainly understand those who are trying to express a thanks for your prayers and concern, as we try to do that as well. And our heartfelt thanks to you for all you do for us and your prayers especially. But at the end of April, Carol and I, as is now, Lord willing, we plan to travel with our son Luke to Mayo Clinic, and he will be tested to be a possible transplant candidate. So that's kind of where things are at right now. It's a process. If he passes, I didn't have seven children so that I would have transplant candidates. But if he passes, a transplant would possibly be 2 to 3 months after that. So we're probably looking at the summer if it's as a possibility, again, if we have a candidate if Luke passes. All right, enough of that. This morning, the title of the message is Seeking God with Our Whole Heart. You know, I use reading glasses. These are my regular glasses. I usually only wear them for preaching, teaching, that kind of thing. But I use reading glasses because they're cheap. And I take them on an awful lot. I don't like to have them on all the time. But I need them for reading. Especially here at school, I can't see close up very well. And if I don't have reading glasses, I can't help the student and so on. But I use them. And sometimes sometimes I'm looking for them. Where are they? I'm searching, only to realize that they're hanging on my shirt in front of me. You ever experienced something like that? And then sometimes I'm searching for something and looking for it in the house, and I'm looking here, I'm looking on my desk, I'm looking there, only to ask Carol, where is it? And she quickly finds it. Perhaps you've experienced seeking those special items. Maybe it's that special gift you're looking for someone, or maybe it's a special piece of furniture that you're looking for. You're seeking it out. And then isn't it true that we put great effort into some of those things, and then more importantly, to someone special that we want to spend the rest of our life with? It's wonderful when we find something or someone that we've been seeking for. In this message, we'd like to consider what it means to seek God with all of our heart. And Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah's message from God to those carried away to Babylon was that the captivity would last 70 years. And then after that, after the 70 years, the Lord would visit them. And he says in verse 10, and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. And then he gives a wonderful promise and a truth for the ages. And if you were to ask me, and in fact, the yearbook committee asked, what's your favorite verse? Well, this is what I gave them, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I have good thoughts toward you, says God. My thoughts are good. I want good for you, and I want you to have a hope. An expected end, a future. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and so on. But verse 13, I think it was in looking at verse 11 and sharing that at school one morning, and then in doing that, verse 13 stuck out. And this aspect of seeking or searching for God with all my heart. And we talked about here at school, what does that mean? What does it mean to search for God with all my heart? And a searching. Well, in Psalm 119:10, the psalmist says this, with my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. And then in Deuteronomy 4, God gives a promise to the Jews that after turning to other gods, little g, he says in verse 29, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And then in the New Testament, Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, the things that we need, shall be added unto you. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 7, seek and ye shall find. In verse 8 then, he says, he that seeketh, findeth. And Colossians 3:1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, do what? Seek those things which are above. And Acts 17:27 says that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. The Bible, or there's enough in Scripture that we know that God wants us to seek him, and he wants us to do it with our whole heart. Interesting enough is the truth that before you or I can ever seek the Lord, he has to first seek us, doesn't he? Because Luke 19, Jesus said in Luke 19:10, he said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." So something has to have happened before anyone will seek God with all their heart. God has to make a new creation. And spiritually speaking, he has to do something spiritually within us, because Romans 3, 10 and 11 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Can't happen unless Jesus first seeks after us. God has to have done something in our life before we can seek him with our whole heart. Well, it's also important to note that in Scripture, the word heart is often referring to our core being. It includes our spirit, our emotions, our will, our intellect, or our mind. So basically, our heart is our whole inner person. And as we consider what it means to seek God with our whole heart or our whole inner person, it involves, first of all, this. Number one, that we need to make choices concerning our heart. In 2 Chronicles 12, verse 14, it's referring to King Rehoboam, and it says, "He did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord." He didn't make ready his heart. He didn't choose to seek the Lord. And then we find the opposite in 2 Chronicles 19:3, where it's referring to King Jehoshaphat. "Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God." We need to prepare our hearts or choose to seek him. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." The meanings for the word perfect there are complete, full, just, made ready. God is looking to show himself strong on behalf of those who choose to make ready their heart and seek him with their whole heart. 1 Chronicles 22:19, the first part of that says, "Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God." Deuteronomy 4:39, "Know therefore this day that, and consider in thine heart that the Lord he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else." Joshua 24:23 says, "Incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." Joel 2:12, "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye to me with all your heart." And it refers to making changes and to returning. So all these words, prepared, set, consider, incline, and turn, are a choice that you and I can make to seek God with our whole heart. Or we can choose the opposite. We can choose, as Jesus was speaking to his disciples in Mark 8:17, he said, "Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened?" We can choose to harden it. Psalm 95:8 says, "Harden not your heart as in the provocation, as the day of temptation in the wilderness." So we have a choice. We choose. We make choices as to what we will do with our heart, our inner person, our core being. Whether we will seek God with our whole heart or not. So in considering what it means to seek God with our whole heart, first it involves making choices. Or making the choice concerning our heart, our whole being. And secondly, we want to consider some things that we can do to seek God with our whole heart. First, we need to understand that seeking God with our whole heart affects our inward person and our outward person, both. And I might add this, that seeking God with our whole heart, or our inward person, let me back that up, seeking God with our inward person is the most important. Why? Because it translates to the outer. So it's most important that my heart first is being seeking God, because then it will translate to the outer me. Deuteronomy 8:2 says, the Lord was testing them to know what was in their heart. I'm sorry, this is my words. Let me read that. I'm getting ahead of myself. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. The Lord was testing them to know what was in their heart, their inner being, whether they would keep his commandments, which certainly involved their outer being. The inner being was the most important, because it translated to the outer person by keeping God's commandments. What was in their heart determined whether they would keep God's commandments. You know, when Solomon asked for wisdom and knowledge to rule the people instead of riches or wealth or honor, God was impressed because it came from Solomon's heart. 1 Chronicles 1:11, and God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, and so on. It starts in the heart and then translates from there. Jesus said in Matthew 15:8, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You know, that's a scary verse. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth. We can say the right things, and they honor me with their lips. The right words can be coming out, but their heart is far from me. He said in Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. In other words, the good that comes out of a person comes from the good heart. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. You listen to someone long enough, you get a feel or you get a taste of what their heart is. Jesus said in Matthew 15:18-19, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defile not a man. He was saying all those wicked things, those evil things that people do, that you and I do, the things that we do that are wrong, they're coming from the heart. Matthew 23:27, Jesus said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are likewise unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. In other words, they looked good, but the heart was like dead man's bones, unclean. The heart is the most important because it is from there that the outward comes. The outward translates from the heart. Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In other words, it needs to happen in the heart, and then it translates to the mouth confessing, and things happen outside of us. On the outward person, we're a new creation within, so we're doing differently on the outside. When the world looks at us, they can tell a difference when they're around us and see us. So let's consider what it means for us to seek God with our whole heart and how it affects our inward and outward person. First, if I'm going to seek God with my whole heart, I need a heart of humility. We saw that in the lesson this morning, Sunday school lesson. Peter and the disciples thought they could stand with Jesus. They weren't going to deny him, and they really were lacking a heart of humility. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek. Or Larry had a sermon not too long ago on that verse. But there is to be a seeking, again, by God's people. There needs to be a humbling. Psalm 10, verse 17, Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. Matthew 18, 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It's not the person that's out there trumping themselves and saying, I can do this. See me. It's the person that's like a child and humility who's the greatest in God's kingdom. James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. Certainly sounds significant that we need a humble heart. We need to have a humble spirit to seek God with all of our heart. You know, that translates to the outside person. When there's a humble spirit on the inside, it affects how we talk, how we act. It affects our expressions, how we present ourselves, affects our dress, what we buy. You know, the Lord was our greatest example at this. He said in Matthew 11, 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. You know, I think we could make a case that humility was the Lord's greatest characteristic. Because everything else came out of that. To seek God with all of our heart, we must have a humble spirit. Humility must be a very, very important characteristic of our lives. Second Kings 22:19, it says, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, I also have heard, saith the Lord. Well, secondly, to seek God with our heart, we need to have a love for God. Now, I'm not just talking about, I love God. You hear it sometimes, or, you know, I know all about God. God, I know him. I love him. I'm not talking about a flimsy love for God, but a love that places God above everything and everyone. That's the kind of love for God that we need. Matthew 12, 37, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. So if we're going to seek him with all our heart, we have to love him above all else and all everyone. And love him with all our heart and soul and mind. That's our whole being. This love for God translates to our outer person, doesn't it? And that it causes us to obey God's commandments, because Jesus said in Matthew 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now you'll prove it. Your outward will prove what's on the inside. It also translates in that we love others. The fact that we're loving God, seeking God with all our heart and trying to love him supreme, it'll translate to how we love others, because Jesus said in Luke 10, 27, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. Maybe we don't mind the first part of that verse so much, but Lord, are you sure I got to love my neighbor? All of them? The one that I have struggled with? The answer to that is yes. To seek the Lord God with our heart, we need an inward love for God. that results in an outward loving of God by keeping his commandments, and it shows in how we love others. Thirdly, to seek God with all of our heart means we must trust him. If I'm going to seek him with all my heart, I have to trust him. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. If I'm going to seek the Lord with all my heart, I have to trust in him. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And again, that's more than just saying, I believe in God. Again, this inward trust we have for God reveals itself outwardly. How we live. How we react. And as that testimony of George said, the commentator made about Christians, the only ones that aren't afraid seem to be Christians. That's showing a trust in God. It's an outward show. Fourthly, to seek God with all of our heart, truth must always be the deciding factor of our lives. Truth must always be the deciding factor of our lives. In our conversations, our dealings with others, our buying and our selling, truth must be the deciding factor. 1 Samuel 12, 24 says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. Truth matters. You know, we had some signs back some years, a couple years here. All lives matter, right? Doesn't matter on the collar of the skin. All lives matter. But you know what? Truth matters. Truth matters. Fifthly, to seek God with all our heart, we need to lay up treasure at the right place. And Brother Don talked on that in our Bible study. Matthew 6, 19 to 21, lay up not for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So if I'm going to seek God with all my heart, I have to lay up treasure at the right place, because that's where my heart's going to be. We can't be seeking God with all of our heart if our heart is on the treasure down here. And we all got some treasure. Psalm 62:10 says this, if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Because if so, it takes away from our trust in God. Are we trusting in our riches? Or are we trusting in God? Because there's a difference. And if I'm going to seek God with all my heart, I can't trust in those riches. I ask you if we love them more than we love God. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There will my heart be also. Sixthly, we can seek God with all of our heart when we forgive others. In Matthew 18, Jesus told the story of a debt, a large debt, only for that servant not to show mercy on someone who owed him. In other words, you know, the king forgave the servant who had that large debt, and then he went out, took a hold of the person that owed him a small amount, and threw him in jail, or as we would say, jail. Matthew 18, verse 34, 35 says this, and his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, meaning the man that didn't have mercy, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts. This is not just a, I forgive you, three words that we say, and then we go on, and the heart never made a connection with it. But he says, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Someone has said that we're never more like Christ than when we forgive. Think about that. You want to be like Christ? You want to seek God with all your heart? Forgive. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is forgiving you. He forgave you a lot, forgave me a lot, keeps on forgiving me a lot. Incredible. But why do I struggle to forgive someone else? I'm going to seek him with all our heart. We need to do so by forgiving others. Well, what are some of the things that we can do to seek God with our heart? Have a heart of humility. Have a love for God. Trust God. Make truth that it matters in our lives, that it's the dictator of our lives. Lay up treasures in the right place. Forgive others. Number 7. Don't worry. I see the clock and we'll get through this, I think, Lord willing. Number 7. To seek God with all our heart, we need obedience. You know, I already referred to it earlier, but I wanted to mention it again, so that's why I included it. It actually gave me an odd number, but that's okay. I wanted to include it again because it's important. Obedience to God's commands is needed to seek God with our whole heart. Psalm 119:10, I referred to it earlier, but here's the part. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. In other words, if I'm wandering from the commandments of the Lord, I am not seeking God with my whole heart. The two have to go together. We can't be wandering from God's commandments and say, I'm seeking him with my whole heart. The two don't mesh. So that's number 7. Number 7 is obedience. I'm going to seek God with my whole heart. I need obedience to God's commands, to his word. Number 8, we seek God with our whole heart through prayer. Through prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:14, again, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. We're going to seek him with our whole heart. We have to get in connection with him. We have to pray. It's an avenue by which we seek him with our whole heart, and we can express it to him, our whole heart, and he responds. Psalm 119:145, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. Psalm 62:8, trust in the Lord at all times, ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. He wants our heart, and he wants us pouring it out to him in prayer. Number 9, we seek God with our whole heart through praise. Praise. Psalm 138:1, I will praise thee with my whole heart. You know, it's not just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's a praise that even if you walk out on a beautiful day and you see that bright blue sky and you're thinking, praise the Lord, it's coming from inside the heart. It's a heart of praise for what he's created. Psalm 111:1, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. As mentioned this morning that we were doing that. Psalm 9:1, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. So when someone praises the Lord for what he's done in their life, or for what he's doing, or saying, you know what, look at that. Praise God, that's God doing that. That is praising him for his marvelous works and coming from someone's heart. And it's seeking God with all our heart. Number 10, we seek God with all our hearts by putting away other gods, little g. Joshua 24:23, now therefore put away the strange gods which are among you and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. As long as there are other gods, little g gods, whatever they are, whoever they are, as long as they are in our lives, we can't seek the one and only God with all our heart. Can't happen. Number 11, I told you it was an odd number. This is the last one. I didn't know what to take out, so we're stuck with 11. I know that's not what a preacher should do, but anyway. Number 11, we seek God, and I'm probably missing some, so I'm not declaring that this is all the things that we can do to seek God with our whole heart, but I think if we get through these 11, we work on these 11, it's going to keep us busy. We seek God with our whole heart when we repent and confess sin. Once again, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, what are they going to do? Turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. James 4:8, draw, or the word means seek, or we can take that from it, draw nigh to God, seek God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hands, your hearts. He says, purify your hearts. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So when I'm confessing sin, when there's a repentance, it's a seeking after God with the whole heart. How do we seek God with our whole heart? Heart of humility, a love for God, a trust in God, truth dictating our lives, laying up treasure at the right place. Seek first the kingdom of God, obeying God through prayer, through praise. Putting away little gods or other gods. They are little compared to our great God. And repenting and confessing of sin. You know, this involves our whole being, doesn't it? This isn't just something we can go through the motions and accomplish. Seeking God with a whole heart is my whole being. Involves my whole life. That's what Christianity is supposed to be about. But unfortunately, man takes other things and puts them in place and so on, and it's turned Christianity into something else, maybe just religion to some people. I'm not saying you have to answer for yourself, I have to answer for me. Listen to these words in closing here. Religion isn't working anymore. Every single Sunday, just like the one before, religion isn't working anymore. Religion sure ain't never satisfied. I've crossed the T's and dotted all the I's. Still I feel so empty, walking out the door, because religion isn't walking or working anymore. I'm not saying it's not important to do things that we believe the Lord wants us to do and to obey scriptures. We've already touched on that. I hope you understand what I'm saying here. But I wonder if you've ever felt this way or been through this. Religion never set nobody free. It's always made a prisoner out of me, yes indeed. I'm done with checking boxes. I'm tired of keeping score. Because religion isn't working anymore. You see, religion doesn't work. But seeking God with all our heart, Christianity in that way, in Christ at the center. And seeking God with all my heart, and then trying to do so with all the things that we said, and how it translates from the inward to the outward. That makes a difference in a life. It's made a difference in my life, I can tell you that much. I don't have it all down, But I'm saying, praise God, he's made a difference. I want to know my blessed Savior and love him like I've never loved him before. You know why? Because I want to feel the power of the resurrected Lord, because religion isn't working anymore. I wonder if there's anybody here, if religion isn't working for you, let me tell you, you need to go back. Just like we all need to be there, but you need to go back and seek God with your whole heart. And that's where I need to be this morning. I hope that's the desire of all of you. That's my desire. Not that I've accomplished it. Not that I think I'm a great example of it. It's my desire to seek him with my whole heart. God bless you.
Brother Dwayne has given us a lot to think about, has challenged each of us, has challenged me. And I hope all of you here have a desire to seek the Lord with your whole heart. And Dwayne mentioned these two verses, Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. If you are wanting to seek him with your whole heart, ask and it shall be given you. Seek. If you're seeking, you will find. If you knock, if you knock, it's going to be open. The door is going to be open. The love of God is going to be opened unto you. And then in verse 8, for everyone that seeketh, findeth. If you are seeking with your whole heart, you're going to find. You're not going to be disappointed. So let's take the challenge that Brother Dwayne has given us this morning and seek God. Seek him with our whole heart. And those 11 different things that Dwayne mentioned, I have to work on them. Let's all stand for closing prayer.